You can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Lord, you can use me. Take my hand, Lord, take my feet. Touch my heart, Lord, speak to me. You can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, I love you, Jesus. I praise you, I worship you, God. Amen. How many here are not ashamed to worship God with all of their heart? Amen. Hallelujah. That's what we're going to sing about.
I'm going to dance for you. That nobody's watching. Nobody's watching.
To worship your holy name, God. You're everything, you're everything, you're everything. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I praise you, my God. I give you glory. I give you honor. Worthy is the Lamb, Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. I praise you. I worship you. I bless the Lord, oh my soul. I bless the Lord, oh my soul. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. It's come time to give an offering. Amen. God has been so good to us. Give in return unto God. Hallelujah. We're going to march around as we sing. We want to shake your hand. So if you would, if you march with us, we want to shake your hand, greet you, tell you how great it is to see you. Amen. So just give unto the Lord as you feel with.
Thanks. I give you thanks for all you've done. I am so blessed, my soul has found rest. Oh Lord, I give you thanks, I give you thanks for all you've done. I am so blessed, my soul has found rest. Oh Lord, I give you thanks.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Can we just thank the Lord tonight?
Jesus.
Oh, Lord, we give you thanks, Lord, for all that you've done. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Well, I've got a song I'm going to sing tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Believe it or not, amen, on June the 6th of this year, hallelujah, amen, I am going to finally arrive at the big 5-0, hallelujah. But I said that to say this. The piano player needs to turn her mic off when she leaves, hallelujah. I said that to say this. That was the day that I was 16 years old. And I can still remember getting into that Audi 100 LS, taking out my 8-track tape. I had 3 or 4 of them. I was high class. Amen. I had Merle Ewing, hallelujah, singing. Amen. Woo! About the power of the blood of Jesus. Amen. But there was Lance Appleton. Amen, and I would plug old Lance Appleton in, and as I would go down the road, I would sing this song. Amen. And it is still real tonight, some 30-something years later. Amen. It has a message to us that there is a people that have been called by the name of Jesus. And we will stand against the evils of this world, and we will stand for what God has called us to be. Amen. And God wants all of us to know that we can be the called out ones. We can be a part of the church tonight. The church is going to heaven. It's up to us whether we want to be a part of it tonight. This church is glory bound. Hallelujah. This train is bound for glory, brother. That's another one of his songs. Amen. And if you want to go, you got to go holy. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's sing it together tonight. Hallelujah. How we are truly a one God apostolic. One God, apostolic tongue, talking, holy, rolling, born again, heaven bound believer in the liberating power of Jesus' name. Been washed in the blood, sanctified by the Spirit. I believe in holiness, and I suggest that you do the same. Was set free at a Pentecostal altar on my knees. Would you pardon me if I'm not ashamed? To be a one God, apostolic tongue, talking, holy, rolling, born again, heaven bound believer in the liberating power of Jesus' name. Catch me preaching on the street, not me. Too shy to talk to people when we meet. But then one day out on Town Square, a bunch of kids were gathered there, throwing beer cans at the law and shouting, peace, peace, peace. Well, I did not intend to interfere, but someone started screaming in my ear. So I laid both hands on his head, and I prayed while he turned red. And the other kids said, let's get out of here. Cause I'm a one God, apostolic tone, talking, holy, rolling, born again, heaven, I'm a believer in the liberating power of Jesus' name. I've been washed in the blood, sanctified by the Spirit. I believe in holiness, and I suggest that you do the same. Was set free at a Pentecostal altar on my knees. Would you pardon me if I'm not ashamed? Be a one God, apostolic tone, talking, holy, rolling, born again, heaven bound believer in the liberating power of Jesus' name.
I never
testify at school, not me. People will say that I'm not cool. But then one day I had enough of that evolution stuff. So I stood right up and I said, God's word is true. My teacher did not know what to do. It seemed like he was shaking in his shoes. Though he knew I meant no harm, he took me by the arm and said, son, what religion are you? I'm a one God, apostolic tone, talking holy, rolling, born again, heaven bound believer in the liberating power of Jesus' name. I've been washed in the blood, sanctified by the Spirit. I believe in holiness, and I suggest that you do the same. I was set free at a Pentecostal altar on my knees. Would you pardon me if I'm not ashamed? To be a one God, apostolic tone, talking holy, rolling, born again, heaven bound believer in the liberating power of Jesus' name.
Job.
I never say a word. I figure they all know I go to church. But when my boss man calls me in for a tonic and some gin, I begin to think perhaps he hasn't heard. Said, no, sir, I am not the drinking kind, except it for a thing they call new wine. As he lost his cigar smoke, and it seemed like he would choke, I proceeded to explain it one more time. I'm a one God. I'm so tone talking, holy, rolling, born again, heaven bound believer in the liberating power of Jesus' name. I've been washed in the blood, sanctified by the Spirit. I believe in holiness, and I said, you do the same. I was set free at a Pentecost altar on my knees, which pardon me if I'm not ashamed. Be one God, apostolic tongue, talking holy, rolling, born again, heaven bound believer in the liberating power of Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's praise the Lord tonight. Oh, thank you, Lord, that I've been liberated. Thank you, Lord, that I've been set free. Oh, we praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord tonight. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God in the highest. My King, my Redeemer, my Savior. Oh, blessed be your holy name, O Lord. Blessed be your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You may be seated tonight. It feels good to praise the Lord, to magnify and to glorify his name. Amen. If you knew tonight what Jesus had done for some of us, you would understand why he loves us so much. God has brought us so far, and God has been so good and so gracious to us. And I want to tell you tonight, there is a God in heaven that loves his people. And if there's no other reason to live for God tonight, I live for God because I want my children to know about God. But there's many other reasons that I live for God tonight. I really am like everybody else. I have a lot of concern about my old self. And I want to have a relationship with my Creator because in that I find peace in a troubled world. We're living in a world that depression is a household word. It's just an automatic thing. You go to the doctor and you say, I'm feeling bad. And they say, well, I'll prescribe you XYZ. And here he goes, because everybody needs a pill. Nobody can deal with reality. But I want to tell you, Jesus wants to give you the Holy Ghost. Amen. And when you get the Holy Ghost, you get heaven-bound reality. The earnest of your inheritance. God is able to give you strength to go through what this world has brought, your direction. As a young man growing up, I was very fortunate that I grew up in a home where I had a mother and a father that loved God, and they taught me about Jesus, and the God that delivered my father was the God that kept me through 12 years of schooling in some very, very evil times, very, very perverted times in our history of our country. But that God reached down and touched my father, and I want to give my father's testimony tonight. Sister Sarah is coming here in a few moments and is going to lead a testimony service, but I want to tell you what God did for my father, to let you know that God can reach down to all different walks of life and touch people and change them and give them hope. As a young man, my father grew up and the Great Depression came, and many, many terrible things were a part of the Great Depression. And as you know, at the end of the Great Depression, America entered into World War II. My father was drafted into the Navy, or went into the Navy rather than being drafted into the Army, probably is what the situation was, and went into the Pacific and had a very, very terrible, terrible few years of his life. In all of this, a culture and an environment that was full of drugs and alcohol and death and destruction, and spent multiple hours out in the deep, was tossed off the destroyer that he was on. When he came back to Stone County, Missouri, he was someone that was mad at God and mad at the world and thought the answer could be found in a fifth of whiskey. He opened up a nightclub there in Stone County, Missouri. And there in the nightclub, he sold everything from wine to women, operated illegal gambling, sold booze on Sunday, and paid off Sheriff Walker, the county sheriff, for protection for his illegal activities. One day, Sheriff Walker came to my father, a man that was bound by alcohol, bound by sin, and told him that there was a warrant for his arrest by the feds and that he couldn't do anything about that, that my father had to run. So my dad went off down to Mexico and was there for a while and came back into El Paso, Texas, and got a job on the railroad and was working on a train. He'd been drunk for 21 days. And he looked over at his buddy and said, "Won't you hold the train for me? I need to go over to the joint and get me another drink." And there was something about this man, even though he did not have an experience with God himself, he had a wife at home that loved God and went to church. And he looked at my dad and said, "Akers, you don't need another drink. What you need is God. Why don't you go home with me and go to church with me? My wife's church has a revival." And there was my grandmother praying back in the hills of Missouri, my grandfather, for their son that had lost his way. And he went to church with them, and God got a hold of his life, and he came to an old-fashioned altar, and he knelt down and repented of his sins. And before God got done with him, there he was with 21 cents in his pocket and a patch on the seat of his britches. But he got rid of the sin in his life. He repented and gave it up to God, and God filled him with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues back during the 1950s. And I want to tell you, the same God that delivered my father from all of his addictions and all of the perversions of sin is a God that I've seen deliver hundreds of people in my ministry that have touched their lives and changed them from everything from LSD to heroin to cocaine. I don't care what the situation was. I've seen them, amen, with all the different addictions and all the different spiritual walks. Those that were of the wicked nature, and those that were possessed, and those that practiced witchcraft, and those that were in all walks of life. God got a hold of them, and he brought them out and delivered them and set them free and gave them a new life and hope. That's the God that kept me as a young person. I never smoked one cigarette. I never drank one Budweiser. I never smoked one weed. Yes, it was all around me. Any day, any time that I wanted, all I have to do is look over at somebody and say, "Can I have a puff off your weed? Can I have one of your Red Devils? Can I have a sip out of your Budweiser?" But the power of the Holy Ghost kept me as a young person, as I like to tell them, there is something better. There is something more. You don't want to wind up where this is going to lead you. Amen. Young people that I went to high school with died very violent deaths. Some are on death row in prison tonight, I want to tell you something. I'm thankful for the Holy Ghost and the power therein that is able to deliver and to keep and to restore that which the devil has taken. Amen. Sister Sarah, won't you come? Amen. Leave your testimony. Give those an opportunity that want to testify tonight.
Praise the Lord. It feels so good to be in the house of God tonight and all these people here. I'm like, I guess I'll just start with my testimony. And I'm only here because of God's mercy and grace. And I don't even know where to start. I've been through... When I walked into the doors of that church, I was a broken little girl. And my marriage was not working. I was on drugs. I mean, God has done, in this short amount of time of 2 years, God has done so much in my life. And I'm just so thankful for my church family and for the prayers that God hears all of our prayers. And when we are obedient to His word and we do what he asks of us, He really does come through. And I love my life today. I'm so blessed. I'm so thankful. I don't even know where to start because He's done so much, from deliverance to putting my marriage back together to my kids have a love for God that I never knew God. I was never in church. My parents didn't raise me in church. I didn't know God. I knew there was a God. I knew that, you know, but, and when I walked into the doors of this church, honestly, I thought these people were crazy. I'm like, they're speaking in a different language. They're running around like, but you know, the world goes to concerts and they go to all these events and they scream and they shout and they worship, and I'm just here to worship God, and I'm so thankful for what He's done in my life. So that gives me a reason to shout. That gives me a reason to cry, to run the aisles, to whatever I feel the Holy Ghost lead me to do. But I'm just so thankful. I mean, the people in this church have really helped me become who I am today. But without God's help, I'd be in the same place. I'd be, you know, just where I was when I walked in that door. So, I just want to open the floor for anybody that wants to give their testimony. And I have Sister Michelle's too, but I'll give that in a minute. Yes, go! Come on, Alicia. Amen, yes. Thank you, Jesus. Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You just really see that Jesus is with you. Yes. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Well, this is a little off left field, I guess, but I'm awed with how God and what God will do. The Bible talks about the angels envy us, our relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
We have a more personal relationship with God than they do.
Than the angels, yep.
God has given
us such
a great ability to talk to Him and say, God, I love you. And you have a one-on-one relationship. You talk, you can receive. He'll talk to you. And,
amen.
Verse number 9. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, God's not even arguing with the devil. He doesn't even give him the time of day.
Mm-hmm.
One of his archangel, Michael, is there contending, arguing with the devil. And so it says, contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. Dost not bring against him a railing accusation. But then Michael said, the Lord rebuke thee.
Yes.
The Lord rebuke thee. He didn't have to say anything else. Just the Lord rebuke thee and the devil flee. He got out of there.
Amen.
All you have to do is say, I rebuke you in Jesus' name.
Yes.
And it's all over.
Amen.
All you have to say, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. He's got to flee.
Amen. Hallelujah.
How much more are we better than the angels? The personal relationship with God.
Amen.
And yet all we have to say is, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. And he has to flee.
Yes, amen. God's That's so the truth. Brother Lee, I saw you trying to jump up over there. Right. Yeah. Amen. 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 Okay, really quick. God just quickened me to read this scripture, and he keeps saying the oneness of God. And to me, it was so easy to get it. But a lot of people are like, God the Father, whatever. Jesus is God wrapped in flesh, and he came to save us from our sins. And right here in 1 Timothy 3:16, this has always been my favorite scripture and my go-to, and it's just like, wow, it helps you get it. But it says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. So it just says right there that God is Jesus. Jesus was God wrapped in flesh, and he came here. So. No. Amen. Yes, amen. Amen. Yes, amen. Amen. Yep. Yep.
I love you, Jesus.
Amen.
And it reminded me the first time I got the Holy Ghost is because I wanted that love. I was raised in a large family. We had nothing. But we did have love in the family.
Amen.
But still, yet, there was just something about feeling left out. Felt like I couldn't fit in anywhere. Felt like I needed so much more than what I had. And my brother told me, let me go to your room and pull up the chair and say, okay, Jesus, take your seat. And you need to tell Jesus everything, Linda. Just visualize that he's sitting right there. That was the best advice I've ever received.
Yep. Amen.
Because as soon as I did that, all of a sudden, I couldn't wait to get the opportunity. I didn't want nobody to know about it. So I went in and I pulled that shirt to my bed. I said, okay, what's in this seat? And I sat there as a teenager, troubled in my heart and in my mind. And I already had two nervous breakdowns. And I was troubled. And I begin to unload.
Yeah.
The spirit sitting there, but the more I visualized him sitting there, he started opening up my voice and he started talking to him like I'm saying right now.
Yep.
And I'm saying, Lord, I need you. I need your help. All of a sudden, I felt the presence of the Lord in my room and literally felt the Lord put his arms around me so much that scared me to death.
Amen.
I'm at the door. Who's in the room with me? I just froze. And then I looked around the carefully around the side and there was nobody there. And then I knew it was the presence of the Lord. And I just knew that he was holding me tight. That began the relationship.
Yep.
God, I can't even explain. Because all of a sudden I started building a friendship. I'm thinking, you know what, I can tell him anything.
Yeah.
He knows who I am.
Amen.
I've heard it said so many times, I tell my kid that. If God knows how to I don't even know that about myself. I don't even know that. But he does. But he knows every little detail about me. He knows my fears. He knows my regrets. He knows my troubles. He knows what I have problem overcoming. And because of that, one scripture that's been on my mind is totally read. I'm not going to read the whole scripture, but I want to say, let us, Hebrews 12:1, let us lay aside every
weight
and the sin which is so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us.
Amen.
You know what? If you want a relationship with God, and you want, a lot of people say, why are you so happy? Why every time I ask you to pray, it
one weight, yes. Amen. He does. Amen. Yes, amen. Yep. Mm-hmm. Substance of things hoped for, the evidence, things not seen. Yep. Yes, amen. Mm-hmm. Yes, amen. Amen, sister. At 3 a.m. Yep. Amen. Yes, he does. Yep. Latest art. Amen. Amen. Just, yep, one day at a time. Jesus. Yep. Power in the name of Jesus. Yep. Amen. Truth. Jesus. Yep. Yes. Amen. Amen. God did. Amen. He did. Yes. All in the name of Jesus. Come on, sister. Amen. Amen. Jesus' name. Sister Jerry. I kind of skipped you and went over there, so. Well, praise God. Where you come from, yep. Where God's brought us from. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Bible talks about it. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I know my husband and I say Jesus' name and Jesus' name all the time. He's like, what are you Jesus naming over there? Sister Michaela. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay, I'm going to read Sister Michelle's testimony. She sent me this in text, and she said, please read this. Luke 16:10-13. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, you will commit to your trust the true riches. And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold on to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. I'm looking so forward to being back into the house of the Lord. Thank you all for your prayers and texts of encouragement, visits, and beautiful gifts. I have truly enjoyed being able to listen to service. I close my eyes as if I'm there. The power of the Holy Ghost will fall anywhere you allow it to. I am thankful that God has allowed this to happen. He knows the reason, and I will praise him through the storm. I am stronger, wiser, and praising him louder than ever before. I will not be hindered in any way. God is still on the throne. Thank you, Jesus. So she's doing great. Amen. Amen. Jesus loves you. Amen. 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 Yes, amen. Yes, amen. Mm-hmm. Yes, amen. Amen. Aw. Go ahead, Brother Carl. Amen. Hallelujah. One.
One, if not three.
No.
And when a lot of them, when I explain to them what we believe and why we believe, and I start showing the scripture, they say, I never saw it that way.
Yeah.
I never understood it that way. I said, you're never going to be taught that way. But yeah. A real church.
A real church. Amen. God. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I'm so thankful for the truth, too. Anybody else? Bell? Come on. Okay. Jesus' name. That was very beautiful. Those were beautiful testimonies.
Thank you, Sister Sarah. Thank you, everyone. Amen for joining in tonight and sharing with us. We want to encourage you to be a part of all the great things that are happening here at Peace Tabernacle this week. Amen. Tuesday night, we'll be having our Search for Truth Bible study. Amen. We enjoy that. 6 o'clock, we gather here and have food and fellowship, and then Brother Jonathan teaches us a lesson. Amen. We just finished up with King David this last week, so we'll be moving on, amen, into the Old Testament. Wednesday night is our prayer and Bible study. We come, we worship God, we sing songs, and we're having a great time studying in the book of Luke about the ministry of Jesus Christ, so many things that we can learn. And before it's over tonight, amen, we're going to have our birthday Sunday dinner. Looking forward to that. Amen. A lot of, amen, great things whiffing out of the fellowship area. Well, find you a Bible, open it up to the book of 1 Kings, and stand with me in honor of the Word of God tonight. I'm the only thing standing between you and fried chicken. Amen. But I guarantee you this chicken's not going anywhere. It's still going to be there when we get there. Hallelujah. The book of 1 Kings, chapter number 6. And we're going to read verse number 7. And I have to tell you tonight, I have never preached from this scripture before. Hallelujah. So that's going to be interesting. But God's word is so quick and powerful in all of his scriptures. There's things there that sometimes we read it and we just see that particular layer of the onion, and it's just information. But God will reach back and he'll reveal another layer to us, and we can see a principle, a precept, something precious from God's word that will come as a result of it. 1 Kings chapter 6 and verse number 7. And the house, when it was in building, was built of stone made ready before it was brought thither, so that there was neither hammer nor axe nor any tool of iron head in the house while it was in building. And one of the scholars brings the verse to us in this manner. He says, the building was built throughout of stones roughly dressed at the quarry. Not a sound of hammer, chisel, or any iron tool was ever heard during the building of the temple. Let us put our Bibles aside and reach out and ask the Lord to anoint our ears to hear the word tonight. Dear God, you see each and every one of us here. We need to hear your voice tonight. Oh God, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit would say unto the church. God, you have a message you want to speak to our hearts and our souls. God, you want to reach down and touch us. Oh, Jesus, we ask you, oh God, to speak unto us, dear Lord. We need you, Lord, tonight, oh God. Our ears to hear and our hearts to receive the word of God. We love you, dear Jesus. We love you, dear Jesus. We love you, dear Jesus. In the beautiful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, amen. You may be seated tonight. Lord willing, I'm going to preach on a subject I have entitled The Work of the Riddler. The Work of the Riddler. Here in the book of Kings, we find the passage of the Word of God proclaiming to us about the beautiful temple being built. It was built by Solomon. Solomon was a young man that God came to him and handed him a blank check. I have never had God hand me a blank check in life, but if he does, I hope I use the same wisdom that Solomon did in filling in the blanks. He came to Solomon and he asked him, "What is it that you wish to have? I have been pleased with Your father has served me well, and you are starting out as a young man and seeking after me. And what do you wish to have?" And Solomon wrote down on the check that the one thing that he wanted from God was wisdom. Lord, give me wisdom. Somewhere within him, his father had taught him, his father had showed him how that when God begins to reveal unto you the situation, that it doesn't matter what it is, with God's understanding, you're able to conquer it. You're able to take it and make it work. So he asked God for wisdom. And one of the things that Solomon did was he completed the task that his father David had prepared for him to do in his life. You see, David did many, many things. He was a great and wonderful king. He conquered more enemies. He brought peace to the land. There was more square miles of territory in Israel under the reign of David than any other king. He was one that defeated giants. Goliath fell down with a stone from a sling. The Philistines were defeated many times by David. He found himself in times and places where he didn't know whether he had the strength to go on. At one time and one place, his family had been captured by the enemy. All his possessions had been carted off, and he had chased them, those that had captured his family, until he was exhausted. And he finally sat down by the brook. And the people that were around him looked at him and said, "You have failed us, David. We are a failure." But he reached out to God one more time and got a hold of God. And he said, "We're going to go forth and we're going to have victory." And through his faith and through his confidence in God, he went forth and all of his family was restored unto him with many, many spoils added therein. But there was one thing that David loved to do. He loved to worship God. As we learned on Tuesday night, how he brought the Ark of the Covenant back into the house of God. And he praised and magnified and worshiped God. He became so demonstrative in his worship. He became a person that was so excited and so exuberant and so emotional about it. He was dancing before the Lord, and it didn't matter to him about his position. The thing that he wanted to do was to give praise and honor to the King of Kings. And there are those that looked out upon him and called him a fool and said, "You have based yourself in the eyes of the world." But he didn't care what the world thought. He wanted a relationship with God. He wasn't going after popular opinion, because popular opinion didn't take him to the throne. Popular opinion didn't bring him peace. Popular opinion didn't bring him all the things that he needed in order to be a great ruler. It was his God that brought him to where he was. But the thing that he wanted to do that God told him no, is he wanted to build God a temple. And many of us, we find things in our life that we want to do. We have things that we desire. We have things that we're interested in. And if we will listen to God, sometimes he's going to come by and he's going to tell us no. But God, why not, God? Hey, what's wrong with that? Why? They're doing it. He's doing it. Everybody's doing it. Why? God says no. God told him, "No, you can't build the temple." But he says, "There's something you can do if you want to." He says, "You can prepare everything that needs to be done so that when your son takes the throne, the temple is ready to be built." So David began to gather all the things that were necessary. They began to work upon this temple. And for month after month, there was 186,000 men that began to prepare the rocks and the stones and all of the things that were necessary to build the temple. All of this was done down at the quarry. The planning that was put into place, all of the things that needed to be done, the rocks that needed to be chipped, all of the pieces that needed to be measured, and everything that had to be done, it was done down in the quarries there in Syria. Because when it came time to put the temple together,
there was not going to be a bunch of noise. There wasn't going to be a bunch of distractions. This temple had to be ready to go because it was a place that was designed for worship. The one thing that was going to be in the house of God was praise. The one thing that was going to be in the house of God was worship. The one thing that was going to be there was an atmosphere that the noise that was going forth was a praise that was going forth to God. There wasn't going to be any other noise. There wasn't going to be any other activity. Nothing else would take the place. Worship was the item of the day. Solomon had this wisdom. Solomon had this knowledge. He began to work. He began to put things together. And the temple began to be built. And as I see here how that so much planning had to go into it, so many things had to be put together, so many plans had to be drawn up. So much work had to be brought forth. It was a master plan that was all executed and brought out because there was not one stone that was modified once they got it to Jerusalem. We're talking here a magnificent, beautiful, beautiful structure built out of these huge slabs of marble that were cut and they were all ready to be put in place. No modifications needed. Nothing had to be done. This was truly a master plan of work. And as you think about it, I've been around a little construction in my life. I remember one time they were building a metal building, was building a church, and it was all pre-engineered and everything showed up. And when we got there, they had to go get a cutting torch because they had put the bolt holes in the steel on the wrong side. And they had to be cut. The holes had to be put in the steel on the other side in order for the beams to be mounted down. All the planning, all that went in it, something had went wrong. But God enabled this to be put together with nothing else that was there. It was planning. It took time. Day after day, month after month, everything being done, everybody working together and for it all to happen. That brings us to the point and the place of the work of a riddler. The work of a riddler was a very strange and different and unique work. It was a work that was a skill that had to be learned and a person had to be patient in order to do it. By chance, I run across this and it reminds me and illustrates to me what God is trying to do in the church today. You see, in the process of making this sparkling wine, there is things that are inside this mix that are not desirable. There are things inside there that are not the pure juice. Whether you want to call it pulp, whether you want to call it contamination, whatever you want to call it, it is there inside the bottle. And so every day the Riddler will come and the bottle will be turned upside down. He will come by the bottle and he's got to have a special shake. And he will turn that bottle just a little bit, 1/8 of a turn. Shake it and turn it 1/8 of a turn and go to the next one and the next one and the next one. Every day that bottle has got to be turned in order to gradually knock everything off of the side that is in there that is making this particular drink. At this time, it is not pleasant. At this time, it's got contamination. At this time, it's got particles in there. It's got things in there that are not desirable. And they begin to turn it. It's a slow process. It's a process of removing the contaminations. As I think about it, there's things in our life that we realize are there in order to get the undesirable things out of our life. In order for your clothes to get clean, my grandmother had a washboard. And she would take those clothes down to the stream and they'd take a rock. And they'd take that washboard and they would rub it and they would beat on it. They'd have to agitate those clothes. They would have to get something in there to cause some friction. Get something in there to cause that dirt to turn loose. because it wasn't just going to fall out by itself. That dirt had latched on. That dirt was encrusted inside the fibers. That it was in there, and it was in there to stay until something was able to knock it loose. And in our life, sin is that thing that wants to grab a hold of people. The terrible thing about sin is when sin grabs a hold of you, it'll take you farther than you ever intended to go, and it'll keep you longer than you ever intended to stay. There's no way that you can ever compromise with the devil, friend. There's no way you can make a deal with hell. There's no way you can make a deal that I am just going to do just this sin. I'm just going to get this thing. I'm just going to go here. I'm just going to be a part of this. I am going to be able to control it. I am going to be able to handle it. I want to tell you something. You can't handle the devil. You can't handle sin. You're going to have something that comes into your life and begins to agitate it. There's going to have to be something that comes into your life and begins to turn you and begins to shake you, because you're going to have to turn loose of that sin. You're going to have to turn loose of the devil. It's going to be having to be removed. Come out from among them and be your separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and then I will receive you. You see, they were building those temple stones there in the quarry and getting everything ready to go, because in Jerusalem it's a time of praise and worship. God today is preparing the church for heaven. When we get to heaven, there's not going to be any preaching about holiness. When we get to heaven, there's not going to be any preaching about living right. When we get to heaven, it is a time of worship and praise. The work has to be done on this earth. I want you to know, you got to get ready before you ever get there to praise and worship God. When we stand before those pearly gates, it's going to be too late to say, I needed to lay down this. I needed to forsake that. I needed to turn my back on the world. We need the work of the Riddler in our life today. We need something, amen, that'll shake loose some things within us. You're going to have to turn loose of the world. You're going to have to turn loose of those old friends. You're going to have to turn loose of those old habits. You're going to have to turn loose of those places you used to go. Amen. God wants to change you from the inside out. He wants to make you a new creature in Christ Jesus. He's not interested in denominations. He's not interested in religion. He's not interested in philosophies. He's interested in giving you an experience that'll change your life. Come out. Come out from among them and be you separate. Oh, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. The power of the Holy Ghost is the only thing that has the power to keep man from sinning. The power of the Holy Ghost is the only thing that can deliver man from sin. God tonight is shaking your world. God tonight is telling you, there's some things you got to turn loose of. You've grabbed a hold of this and it's killing you. You've grabbed a hold of this, it's contaminating you. You grabbed a hold of this, it will destroy you. Before it's all said and done, if this is not out of your life, it's going to keep you out of heaven. Oh, God is doing a work. He's putting together a church. A body of Christ, a body of believers that can be in one mind and one accord. One time Jesus had a very hard saying. He looked at his disciples and he said, you are going to have to take up your cross and follow me. Brother Lee, the Bible tells us they were offended at him. And they turned around and they walked off. They weren't looking for a message of sacrifice. They wasn't looking for a message of change. They were looking for a road of luxury, a road of carnality, a road of feeling all the desires of their flesh and their lust and all of the things that were destroying them. They wanted to have it again and again and again. And he said, no. I want you to know I've got a change for you. Before God can use you, God wants you to know that He wants to shape you and mold you and make you into a vessel that can be used to give glory and honor to the kingdom of God. God wants people that are able to work together in the church to bring about revival. Somewhere, somehow, may God realize, may God give us a realization that we've got to listen to Him, because He's got a work for each and every one of us. And there is a job that needs to be done. And in order for it to be done, we've got to work together. We've got to be able to say, preacher, whatever needs to be done, I'm going to do it. Preacher, whatever it needs to be, I'm going to pray. When you say it's prayer meeting, I'm going to show up for prayer meeting. When you say it's Bible study, I'm going to show up for Bible study. Hallelujah. When you say I need to go over and be friends with this person, I'm going to go over and be friends with that person. We got to be a part of the church. And the church has a message. The church has a mandate. Jesus Christ looked at him and said, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them. Amen. God has a method and God has a message that we are to carry out to a lost and a dying world. And God's trying to shake some things out of us. God's trying to adjust our attitudes. God's trying to get us so that we can fit into His master plan, so that we can be fruitful and multiply and do the work for the kingdom of God. Oh, how much needs to be done? And how much do we stand off and say, that job is not for me, oh God. I'm too good to do that job. I don't have time to do that job. That job's not worth it. A lot of people says it's a meaningless job. What do? I turn bottles and shake them just a little bit every day. Just 1/8 of a turn? Man, that ain't going to make any difference. Pick that bottle up and give it a good shake and stick it back down in there and you'll have your work done for a month. No. No, that's not going to get the impurities out. They've got to gradually be knocked down to the neck of that bottle. Slowly, they've got to be pushed down day by day by day. Somewhere slowly, day by day by day, I've got to find an altar and come through the throne of God and look in the mirror and say, what is it that I'm looking at? What is it that's in the mirror in front of me? What is it, God? Can you try my heart, O Lord? Can you try my thoughts? Can you try my emotions? Can you try me, O God? O Lord, is there something in there, O God, that is not what you would have it to be? Is there a root of pride somewhere within me? Something within me that says, I'm too good to do that. I'm too good to clean the toilet. I'm too good to sweep the sidewalk. I'm too good to have a midnight prayer meeting. I'm too good to go out and be seen with that person in public. I'm somebody for the limelight. I'm somebody to prove my authority. I'm somebody to show who I am. I'm somebody that should have respect. May God make us ready for the kingdom. May God make us ready for His work. May God begin to work upon us, because He's getting us ready for that eternal destination known as heaven. I've got my heart set on heaven. Hey man, there's nowhere else I want to go. I've got to be a part of the church. I've got to be a part of the kingdom of God. I've got to carry out the message that God has put to us. We've got a world that we've got to win. And if we're going to do it, we're going to work together. Amen. Our children, our grandchildren. Amen. The people in the city of Seminole, the people in the county of Seminole, has one hope tonight. It's Peace Tabernacle at 229 North Main. That there would be people there that are prayed through, that are willing to work together, that are willing to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ unto every creature. My God, tonight is no respecter of persons. He doesn't care where you come from. He just cares where you're going. He doesn't care about your past. He just cares about the altar. tonight. The Church of the Living God is not a church that you sign a card and you become a member. You may be seated. You have to be born into the kingdom of God. Sometime, if you haven't read it recently, go home tonight and look in your Bibles in St. John chapter 3. There in St. John chapter 3, Jesus and his ministry was having some time, and suddenly, late in the night, a Pharisee, a learned scholar, a religious man came to Jesus. And he asked him, he said, "Surely, Rabbi, thou art a teacher come from God." Jesus answered Nicodemus and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus didn't understand what in the world was going on. He was looking for miracles. He was looking for something that would make him feel good. He was looking for something that would make him important. He was looking for something that would solve his problems that he thought needed to be solved. He thought that the Roman Empire needed to be overthrown, that the nation of Israel needed their own freedom and their own government, and they would be a ruler of their own destiny. He didn't realize that the bondage that gripped the nation of Israel was a bondage of sin, a bondage of rebellion against God, a bondage that refused to listen to the voice Most High, that God had come down to offer them relationship that would change their life. He looked at him and said, "If you're not born of the water and of the Spirit, you're not going to enter the kingdom of God." The new birth experience is real tonight. There's a lot of people that are trying to water down the gospel. They're trying to give you a gospel light. They're trying to sell it to you wholesale. But when you stand before God on Judgment Day, you're going to want to have the whole truth and nothing but the truth. You're going to want to be able to say, "I heard it from the preacher and he told it to me right. He didn't sell me a bill of goods. He didn't discount it. He didn't change it. He didn't manipulate it. He read it to me right out of the book, and I've got it just like the Bible says." Right, right, right. If all you got to do is believe tonight, then the devil's going to heaven. The book of James, you can read it for yourself. The devil believes in one God and trembles. It takes more than believing to be born again. You got to be born of the water and of the Spirit in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. Nicodemus. Oh, Nicodemus. Jesus was giving you a look at the greatest experience that mankind could have. In Acts chapter 1, he says, Jesus looked at him and said, "This is the promise. The promise that was given by the Almighty God way back in the Old Testament. You look at him and you call him the Father. This is the promise of the Father. This is what the prophet Isaiah looked up and he said, 'Oh my, with stammering lips and another tongue will I say unto my people, this is the rest.'" Yes, yes. Jesus looked at him and said, "Oh, come unto me all ye that are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you the rest." This is the rest. This is the refreshing. This is what it takes in order for your life to be changed. The reason that religion doesn't work, the reason that denominationalism doesn't work, is they're not practicing what the Bible says. They're going by man's theory. They're going by tradition. They're going by the things of the world. But when we get the book out and we do it God's way, it works. When believers come down to an altar and they repent of their sins and say, "God, forgive me of my lying. Forgive me of my cheating. Forgive me of my fornication. Forgive me, Lord, of all the things that I've done that are wrong." Then God hears their prayer and God begins to change them. And it isn't until we're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ that our sins are forgiven. We got a lot of people that have went down a dry sinner and they've come up a wet sinner because their sins were not forgiven. They were not baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. This is a church that is a Jesus-named church. Doing it just like the book of Acts tells us to do it in Acts 2:38, Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 19. The believers were baptized in the name of Jesus. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's a promise. Just like it happened in the book of Acts, it's still happening today. It's happened in 2015 right here at Peace Tabernacle. God has filled believers with the Holy Ghost. They have spoken other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. And that same God is real. And that same God is in the Holy Ghost business tonight. He that hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled. Tonight, we have a challenge. The Word of God says, having done all to stand, stand ye therefore. Could you stand with us tonight? The reason that we go through all the things of this life and we turn loose of all the sin is we realize it's contamination. But one of these days, I'm going to stand and I'm going to see Jesus face to face. I want to tell you, it will be worth it all when I stand, amen, and look into the face of my Savior and my King and my Redeemer. Tonight, as we play this song, to come up front, begin to meditate upon the Lord.
I kept my focus on the throne. So many times I have recalled the Savior's words so true. He said, if you won't be ashamed of me, I won't be of you.
Are you going to stand for Jesus tonight?
I'll proudly stand until I see. Everything for me. When the reason that I'm standing stands in front of me, with every
battle stand in front of
that
Jesus.
I fought will fade
from
glory.
It's going to be worth every sacrifice.
I'm bound for
it's
His.
It's going to be worth everything that we turn loose on.
When the reason that I'm standing stands in front of me.
How many's looking forward to seeing Jesus Christ? Oh yeah.
Can you reach out to him?
This oh, road has changed not been me, easy. Lord. And at times I've lost my way. And so often I have stumbled while searching for the light of day. Circumstances all around me, I thought I'd surely fall. The
you may fall.
Of
you may make a mistake.
Told me
God says, I'll give you the strength to get back up. I'll give you the strength to keep on fighting. I'll give you the strength to go on. Jesus loves you tonight. Jesus is calling to you tonight.
I'm bound before His mighty throne.
Says, I want to change. I want to change.
When the reason that I'm standing stands in front of me. Every child of God that day will look upon His face.
Hallelujah.
The heroes and the martyrs.
Get this ready for heaven.
The pagan
I want you to go with me.
We're all
you're hungry and thirsty for God. You want something more. He's a bishop. You want something more. Oh, you want the real experience of God. We'll just reach out and begin to talk to Jesus. He's here tonight. He loves you.
I'm standing straight.
Recall the Savior's words so true. He said, if you